Very interesting, interesting topic. Sfasemis very often, good morning, boys. Sfasemis very often chooses a very seminal medrash and then elaborates that medrash year by year. So the medrash he chooses this year is a fascinating medrash in its own right. So let me just tell you about the medrash. Again, today's shiur has to be a little bit abbreviated. The medrash quotes a pasuk in Kohelet in which Shlomo HaMelech talks about that everything is holalus and sichlus and ki maha adam sheyavo achar HaMelech. Who is man that can go behind the king or the precincts of the queen, if you understand Hashem, es asher kvar asu. Very strange language in Kohelet, which has already been determined, already been done. So the Medrash interprets this pasuk about human beings submitting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will, even when you can't understand it. And the Medrash quotes two examples of people that didn't appreciate this doctrine of submission to Hashem's will, even though you don't understand it. One is Shlomo Melech himself, one is Moshe, but there is a difference between them. Torah writes that a king can't have too many wives. He can't have more than 18 wives. Why can't the king have more than 18 wives? Lo yasir levavo, because too many wives will turn his heart away from his role, his function as a king. Shlomo HaMelech violated that principle. Shlomo HaMelech said, look, I'm different. I'm a smart person. I can modulate. I'm going to have more than 18 wives, and I won't let my heart be turned aside. And in fact, it failed. All of his wives turned his heart away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we know the story in Malachim. So that's one person who wasn't able to understand submitting to Hashem, even though your ration and your own reasoning suggests otherwise. Oh, I can handle it. You should have realized the answer is no. You should have submitted to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Same thing with Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is upset in the end of Shmos. Why did you create this predicament for the Jewish people? You said you're going to redeem them. You said you're going to take them out of Mitzrayim. Lam hariyosa lam hazeh. And Hashem is telling him in the beginning of this parsha, Vayiral Avraham, I missed the avos, the famous other matters. I missed the avos who succumbed to my will, submitted to my will without questions. You're asking questions. So Moshe and Shlomo each make that classic mistake. Now, the solution here, of course, in the medrash, there's many, many layers to this medrash to unpack. But the message of the medrash is not just to submit to Hashem's will, even though you can't understand it, but to submit to Hashem's will because there's purpose to it that you'll see later. Shlomo HaMelech, it's not like the Akedah. There's no way you can ever understand the Akedah. It's beyond human comprehension. There's no way you can ever understand Amalek. It's beyond human comprehension. But Shlomo HaMelech ultimately realizes Hashem was right, he was wrong, because he realizes his wives did turn his heart away. Moshe Rabbeinu realizes that ultimately Hashem was correct, and he was wrong because we needed Pyro to be engaged in the process so that Pyro's will would be broken, that the world would learn about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this is not submitting to Hashem's will because you'll never understand it. Lo machshavosai machshavosechem. This is submit to Hashem's will because you'll be wrong. You'll think you can avoid the trap of too many wives, and you see you can't. You'll think that you want one form of gula, and you said it is. So it's very different than the classic one. And then the medrash ends with a shout-out to Moshe. So Shlomo was punished, but Moshe wasn't. Why? Because even though they both questioned Hashem's decrees, Moshe did it out of tzar for Am Yisrael. Shlomo was a personal decision about how many wives he wants to marry. Moshe is just so frustrated with how much Am Yisrael is suffering that he shrieks at HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Hashem says, you know what, when you love Am Yisrael so much, I can excuse it. So it's an important medrash about how deep Avas Yisrael is, that even if you're somewhat chutzpahdik to Hashem, and you question HaKadosh Baruch Hu's decisions, if you do it on behalf of Am Yisrael, the famous Yonah question, why did Yonah go to Nineveh? According to some Rishonim, he didn't want to embarrass the Jewish people. He's going to go to Nineveh, and they'll perform tshuva, and Am Yisrael has thousands of Nevi'im telling them to do tshuva, and they're intransigent. So Yonah prioritizes Avas Yisrael over listening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, it's very shaky ground, but Moshe is very different. Okay, that's the medrash. Okay, now the Sfasemis, and I'll just describe one statement of his, has the following question. He's unwilling to accept that Moshe and Shlomo made mistakes. Moshe and Shlomo, what? You and I are able to listen to Hashem's will. I don't understand Shatnez, but I keep it. You don't understand Basa B'chalev, so you keep it. And Moshe and Shlomo are not. So Moshe and Shlomo are not just people that disobey or that question Hashem. So Moshe Rabbeinu or Shlomo Melech, there's got to be something deeper. And the deeper part is Kabbalah. And here's where Kabbalah sets in. That Moshe and Shlomo made the right decisions on a human realm. If human beings lived only in our realm and we used rational, moral factors, they made the right decision. Shlomo says, you know what, I'm strong enough, I'm smart enough, I'm moderate enough, my wives won't distract me. Moshe Rabbeinu says, given what I see, there's no reason the Jewish people should suffer more after the initial message of Geula. Now, if you're not a Mekubal, you say, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a decree, you have to succumb to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will. In Kabbalah, every decision that human beings take is being dictated to and influenced by sources of human experience that are in upper worlds, Olamos Elyonim. And therefore, those worlds you can never fully know about. So it's not just Hashem says something and you think differently, but you yourself, Mark, you're living in this world, but you have a shoresh. There's a part of your neshama, part of your identity that's in higher worlds that you don't understand why, what factors in those worlds, because obviously you can just factor in the human realm. So in those upper worlds, you don't know how this decision lands and why this decision is important. So it's not just you say, look, Ilan Goldman, I have a certain set of factors, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants otherwise. Now, for Ilan Goldman in upper worlds, there's a part of your Shoresh that you can't be aware of. He quotes his grandfather, the Medrash says that had Reuven known that the Torah would write about him, that he saves Yosef, his saving of Yosef wouldn't have been so lukewarm, he would have borne it back on his shoulders. What, Reuven's a covered seeker? He wants headlines, he wants Instagram followers, if he knows he'd be popular? No. If he would know that the Torah talks about him, the Torah obviously occupies upper worlds, he would know that he can't make his decisions just based on factors that he sees in front of his own eyes, but that there's some other worlds that affect your decisions, and therefore you just have to listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's decree. So it's not that Moshe and Shlomo were making miscalculations. Their calculations were perfect based on the factors in this realm. But Moshe and Shlomo didn't realize that human decisions are also affected by human sources. It's called Sharish Adam in upper realms. Now, why am I saying this to you today? Because this leads Hasidus into very, very dangerous territory. Well, if your decisions are affected by upper realms, okay, so that means that when Hashem tells you X, you think Y, you realize Hashem's X's are based on upper realms, and therefore you should listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's X rather than on human factors. But what about when Hashem doesn't tell you what to do? What about every decision you make? Today, you're going to decide to eat eggs, not pancakes. You're going to decide to learn this, blood, that. But that's not something Hashem tells you. You're just making a decision. Are those decisions also preordained by upper worlds? Are those decisions also being affected by an upper stream? Chassidus comes very close to this. There's a lot in Chassidus about Bechira Chafshis. And Bechira Chafshis is not as broad as you would think, because now it's hard to know, because I don't know what those upper realms are teaching me when Hashem doesn't give me a tzivoy. But when I think about it conceptually, is every decision I'm making based on Moshe Taragin at a human level? Are there higher worlds that affect? Listen to this line he says. Okay, this is a line from Tisfas Emes. He says, since all of your actions are dictated by these upper realms, Kol Masse Adam Nigzer Kvar Bashamayim. Kol Masse Adam Nigzer Kvar Bashamayim has already been predetermined, because you're part of a larger cosmological system that so your decisions are really impacted by how other upper worlds affect your decisions. I just, again, there's a lot of Kabbalah that I don't think we apply in our day to day, and I want you to continue to operate based on Bechira Chafshis. But just this recognition that our world and our decisions and our factors isn't the only part of reality. And then there's a larger system we're part of. And again, in later Hasidus, as well as in non-Hasidus Kabbalah, we can also, it's bi-directional, we can also affect upper worlds by our decisions, not just be affected by those decisions. But it's just a broadening sense of, it's not just the here and now, space and time, but you're part of something larger. And that was Moshe and Shlomo's mistake. They didn't make a mistake in the human realm, they just didn't realize that, or they didn't fully compute that they're part of a larger system. And in their realm, it made sense, but there may be. Okay? Tomorrow we'll have something a little bit longer, so I'll take my kid to the doctor, okay?